All right, welcome to the Free Stretch Wild Card Weekend Edition. I've been waiting a long time to say that, and here we are. I'm Bobby Fenton, the show brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford here on JoeBucksFan.com. And I mean, just like everybody else, I'm incredibly excited for playoff football. It has been so long, and we talked on the reaction show that we put out on Monday about how long it's been with the 13 years and how I always look forward. I mean, I look forward to this weekend every single year, even when the Bucks aren't in the playoffs. I mean, Wild Card Weekend is so good. I think of all the sports, and I think of, like, what are my favorite sports in general, and obviously football is my favorite sport, but not just what my favorite sports are, what are my favorite postseasons? And honestly, I guess the NCAA basketball tournament is up there, but I don't think it gets any better than the NFL playoffs. And it's like Bill Belichick used to say in one of those NFL films things, he was filmed during the week leading up to a playoff game, and he's addressing the team. And he's like, hey, this isn't, oh, we don't know what we did wrong. We're going to go look at the film. We'll get them next week. We'll try and do better. He's like, no, there is no next week. Somebody's going to go home today for the rest of the season. Somebody's season's going to end today. And that's the case for every one of these games left remaining. And now there are 13 of them in total with 14 playoff games. We have to eliminate 13 until only one is left standing. And that'll be at Raymond James Stadium as of now on February 7th. But I'm not worried about any of that right now. I'm not thinking about potential opponents for the divisional round or anything else. And I hope the Bucks aren't either. Just worried about winning a football game. It would be the first time they've won a playoff game, and they've only played in two since then, but the first time they've won a playoff game since the Super Bowl itself, Super Bowl 37, back in January of 2003. And this is not a small task, okay? The Washington Redskins, and we're going to talk about the game on the show today. You know, we know all about their struggles offensively. Just as much on the other end of the spectrum, they are very well hyped defensively, and with good reason. They are one of the better defenses in the NFL. And then this week there's been talk of, you know, Alex Smith is a little dinged up. His leg is still not totally right. He didn't look like he was totally right on Sunday night. Who the quarterback is going to be, and Ron Rivera is kind of doing some gamesmanship stuff, hinting that Taylor Heinicke could be it. Whatever. The point is, this is going to be a tough football game. Weather is supposed to be in the 30s, clear on Saturday night in the D.C. area in Landover, Maryland. No fans in the stadium or anything like that, not even a partial crowd. It'll just be the Bucks and the Redskins and the lights, and it'll be just a pleasure to have. I mean, like I said, I'm having friends come over. I'm getting people over to gather, and I'm not going to do it inside. I'll do it outside. They'll be socially distanced, but it's just all the stuff that comes with playing in the playoffs. We get to do it again, and it's so much fun, so much more fun this way. And so we'll talk today about the game. We'll also talk about it, you know, just a general look back at the regular season that was, and kind of give out some hat tips to some people that maybe didn't get recognition, and definitely some hat tips to people that we questioned on this show at different times during the year that have done a great job. And if we're going to question people, we also have to acknowledge when they do a good job. We're going to do all that on the show today. The Free Stretch is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, our good friends over there, where if you're looking for a vehicle, whether it's brand new, whether it's pre-owned, used, whatever you want to call it, there's a bunch of ways to go about it. They've got all the social distancing protocols in place. They've got a huge showroom, a huge lot, masks, hand sanitizer. It's all there for you. You don't have to do anything. So if you want to go take a look, go. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. If you want to stay home, that's fine too. Go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You can see all the inventory on the website. And if you want to test drive something, they'll bring it to your home or office or anywhere within a 90-mile radius of the store. Same thing if you end up making a purchase, they will bring it to you. You don't have to do anything outside of sitting in front of your computer if you don't want to. Either way, you get the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. You have engine trouble down the road. Could be a couple years, whatever, 3-4 years. You still own the car, bring it in. They'll take care of it for you. Same thing, oil changes first year, taken care of, 10 years roadside assistance, all that comes with it. Check them out, BillCurryFord.com, or see them in person a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. So, first things first, and we'll get to the Redskins game in a second. First things first, let's look back at 2020 for a moment, because if you go all the way back to this time 1 year ago, a full year ago, all right, the Buccaneers were coming off of a hideous overtime loss to the Falcons at home, which is kind of the same thing they did this year, playing them to end the season at home, only they won this time. But they were coming off an overtime loss, and with Jameis Winston threw yet another pick six, this one in overtime, to end the game. We had no idea Tom Brady was coming. We had no idea they were going to fix the uniforms. I mean, if I had told you a year ago, they're going to fix the uniforms, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown are all going to play for the Buccaneers. We're going to draft an all-pro tackle, and we're going to be playing in the playoffs with an 11-5 record. I mean, it was hard to envision all those things happening that fast. And yet then the offseason came around. Of course, a lot of things happen out in the world beyond football. But in football, you know, the big thing was signing Tom Brady. And even when we signed Tom Brady on this very show, many times in the offseason, both when it was looking like we might sign him but hadn't yet, and then after we finally did, you know, we said, this guy's 42 years old. I mean, we don't know what we're getting here. I mean, it's Tom Brady in name. Yes, we know that. But these guys, I mean, at his age, you know, I think I compared it to a carton of milk in your fridge or a gallon jug, because who buys cartons? Although the Trader Joe's chocolate milk comes in cartons. That's the best chocolate milk I've ever had in my life. But I digress. I think I compared it to a gallon of milk in your fridge that's maybe getting a little old, and you smell it and you're like, yeah, I think this is okay. This might not be the freshest, but I think we're okay for another couple days. And then you go back to the fridge like one day later and boom, and oh no, no, this, we got to throw this out. Like, that's how fast it can happen a lot of times with players aging out of their primes. And I was saying, and I stand by what I said, I was saying, who's to say that this won't happen? We don't know what we're getting here. I mean, Brady, you know, he's kind of declined a little bit already. So what has Brady done? Well, he's come out. He ended up finishing second overall in the Pro Football Focus passer ratings for the whole season, if you're into PFF. His last four games, and by the way, this was the first time in Buccaneer history, I didn't even realize this, this is the first time in Buccaneer history they won all four of their final four games, which after the bye week we said, hey, 3-1 gets you home, it'd be great to go 4-0, but you go out and do what you got to do against these bad teams. They did just that and more. Brady in the last four games, just the last four, 1,333 yards, 12 touchdowns, one interception, a passer rating of 126.9. Now, that is not the best he's ever had in his career over a four-game stretch. If you, and that's a lofty bar, obviously, especially if you look at his 2007 season. But that is by far, I'll say this much, and Greg Allman tweeted about it, by far, that's the best four-game stretch any Buccaneer quarterback has ever had, ever, these last four games. And I know it came against not such quality competition, but I don't care. I mean, there's been plenty of other not quality competition this year and in other years, and ain't no Buck quarterback ever done that. I mean, just a ridiculous performance culminating in what they did, especially against Detroit last Saturday, or two Saturdays ago, and against Atlanta this past Sunday. So that will not be as easy to do against a defense like the Redskins, like Washington's this Saturday night. But we have to tip our hat. I mean, Tom Brady, when the Bucs signed up for this, you know, nobody knew for sure what they were getting. You're obviously hoping you get the Hall of Famer Tom Brady, and he has only continued to look like the Tom Brady that everybody hoped they would sign, and they did sign. And so, first and foremost, hats off to him. The offensive line. I mean, last year we ripped the offensive line almost weekly, and even earlier in the year this year, we were on top of the offensive line. The opener against the Saints, there were some issues, and there's been a few minor issues here and there, but overall, I mean, again, if we're going to criticize, we need to give credit where it's due. The offensive line as a whole this year was outstanding. Like I already mentioned, Tristan Wirfs. Bucks were just hoping to get one of those tackles. Remember all those tackles there were? And we're thinking, man, can we get any of them? I don't care who it is. Andrew Thomas, Jedrick Will. I mean, just give me a tackle. We need a tackle. And if we could have had our pick of the litter, if we had picked at the top of the draft, I'm not sure if they would have taken Wirfs or not. I think they might have. But the fact that he was the last one of that group taken, that what was considered that premier group of four guys, and that he fell to us, I mean, we will forever be indebted because he is an absolute stud. Wirfs, and this is, I'm going to read about the Pro Football Focus. They did their offensive line rankings as well, and the Buccaneers finished fifth overall in the league in their rankings, but I'll just read what they wrote real quick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady has been under pressure on just 24% of his dropbacks this season. That's the fourth lowest in the NFL. despite operating in a Bruce Arians offense that traditionally brought pressure on its quarterbacks due to the emphasis on the downfield passing game. Part of the credit for that should go to Brady himself, but the guys up front deserve some love as well. In particular, rookie right tackle Tristan Wirfs has played at an all-pro level in his first season in the NFL, which is a real rarity for rookie offensive linemen. Wirfs' 82.2 PFF grade ranks second at the right tackle position. Now, this is me talking. That's second overall, okay? Not second among rookie tackles. Second overall amongst right tackles. I'm reading again now. And he has proven himself against some of the best edge rushers in the league, a list that includes the likes of Cameron Jordan, Khalil Mack, and Joey Bosa. Wirfs and left guard Ali Marpet serve as the cornerstones for what should be one of the best offensive lines in the NFL moving forward. Ryan Jensen was also really good this year. And Alex Kappa. You know, we were talking about how right guard's the hole. What are they going to do about right guard? Kappa stepped up, meshed with this unit, and Donovan Smith's been pretty good too. I mean, Donovan Smith, we've definitely been on his ass a lot in years past and in times past. And, you know, he's not all pro or anything like that, but enough to get the job done. And as a whole, this unit did a great job protecting Tom Brady this year. And it's one of the reasons why the Buccaneers had such a high-powered offense. Hats off to them. Hey, Bradley Pinion's another one. I used to get all up on Pinion because I hate the touchback. Like, oh my God, these touchbacks with the punts. Like, I hate when we punt from midfield and the ball doesn't get down inside the 10. There's nothing worse than punting from like the 42-yard line and then it's a touchback and you net like 22 yards of field position. It's like we could have just gone for it for that. Pinion, starting with last year, he had 57 punts, only 3 touchbacks. This year in 55 punts, he only had 2. Hats off to him. And also on kickoffs, he's got one of the highest touchback rates in the league, which is good because the Bucs kickoff unit has given up, I think, a very high amount of yards on returns. There just haven't been that many of them, luckily. So hats off to Bradley Pinion. Antonio Brown, that whole signing is another thing I question. And Antonio Brown, there's two ways of questioning it because there's the off-field part of it, which hasn't changed, and that is up to each individual how they want to reconcile that. But the on-the-field part of it, we were critical of the signing as recently as a few weeks ago just because, not anything Brown did wrong, but because the Bucs seemingly had abandoned their best deep threat in Scotty Miller because he was not getting enough, you know, really just because of Brown. Brown was taking away snaps from Miller and the Bucs wanted to throw it downfield, but yet they weren't using their best guy for it. And that's still something that, I mean, Scotty Miller, you know, can definitely play a role in the downfield stuff, but they've started to use Antonio Brown much more wisely. He's been really good on the screens. And, you know, Chris Godwin does those screens too. But the thing about Godwin is when he does the screens, just those quick, you know, one shot, take the snap, boom, throw the screen. When he does those, then he's not out there blocking, and he's a really good blocker. And so when you throw a screen to Brown, now you have Godwin out there blocking for you. And he's better at that than Scotty Miller or even Mike Evans or anybody like that. So the Antonio Brown thing in the past few games, it seems like, and it takes time. I mean, you throw a guy into an offense in the middle of the season, and no matter how physically gifted he is, I mean, it's going to take some time. And you could tell early on that Brown and Brady were still kind of figuring it out. But they, along with Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians and Clyde Christensen and the Buccaneers offensive staff as a whole, seems to have figured it out a lot better. And so, especially with Mike Evans getting dinged up last week, the presence of Brown, having a guy like that, is much more important. So, and I admit, I don't want to say I was wrong, because I don't think I said anything wrong about him, but, you know, you're seeing some of the pluses about having Antonio Brown now. And speaking of Mike Evans, and I'm recording this show on Thursday morning, and the Bucs are just getting out to the practice field, but Mike Evans is out there today. He is... There's been some people, Rick Stroud posted some, and Greg Allman, both the Bucs beat writers for the Tampa Bay Times and The Athletic, respectively, both posted footage of Evans running and mainly jogging, like three-quarter speed jogging, and he looks totally fine. Now, obviously, he doesn't need to push it today or do anything crazy. Just the fact that he's out there, he's got his gear on, he's running, that bodes really, really well. And as far as injuries, the Bucs look in pretty decent shape. Carlton Davis is also back. Ronald Jones is good to go. Jason Pierre-Paul was out yesterday. I think I'm not sure if he's back there today. He's one I have to check on. But, I mean, he usually misses a day during the week for maintenance. I don't think it's that big of a deal. And then, of course, Devin White is out. which we'll talk about in a minute because it pertains to the Bucs game plan with the Redskins. But I wanted to mention those different facets of the team that for whatever reason had either been not necessarily just criticized but questioned in any way. And I wanted to point out the good things they had done. We all should be over the moon about Worf, seriously, though. Like, that was really... Jason Light did a great job there. And like I said at the draft, when we traded up one spot and gave away the fourth-round pick, I said, no one's going to care about a fourth-round pick if you actually get the guy you want and he ends up being good. And so, yeah, I mean, I'd love to have a fourth-round pick extra or whatever, but, I mean, I could care less. Worf's a stud. And the Bucs are where they need to be on the offensive front. So, looking at this game on Saturday night, and I mentioned Alex Smith and the quarterback situation for the Redskins a few minutes ago. This week, Ron Rivera, and I think it's mainly gamesmanship, but he's hinted that, oh, well, we might use two quarterbacks. It could be Alex Smith and Taylor Heinicke. And, you know, Heinicke actually didn't look terrible in the times he's played, but he's a journeyman guy. He's from Old Dominion. He had a little bit of experience in the type of offense that Washington runs, and that's why he was picked up. Of course, without Dwayne Haskins now, it's either Smith or Heinicke. And I would not foresee any type of like rotation type thing like Rivera's hinting at or anything like that. If Alex Smith can go, he'll go. Now, if Alex Smith can go, but he's not 100%, I mean, this is something the Bucs can capitalize on. Bruce Arians was right. You know, he said, we're not playing a 7-9 team, we're playing a 4-1 team, and that's Washington's record when Alex Smith plays quarterback. He's like, Dwayne Haskins isn't part of the equation anymore, and it's actually a 5-1 record when Alex Smith plays quarterback, and that's on a 7-9 team. So that's impressive, and yeah, they are a much better team now than they were at the beginning of the season. If you look at DVOA, they have DVOA, which is for the whole season, then they have weighted DVOA, which kind of weights the most recent games more heavily. The Redskins' DVOA ranking was number 16 for the whole year, but weighted it was number 13. For the Bucs, they were number 2 for the whole season. Weighted DVA, it's number 3. And actually, that's not because the Bucs weren't as good. They actually got better. But Buffalo improved so much that they jumped everybody up to number 1 in weighted DVOA, so it bumped the Bucs down. But the Bucs ended up finishing as one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the league based on DVOA. Now, as far as Alex Smith, and I'm not a big... I don't watch the shows with the talking and the opinion shows like Undisputed or First Take or whatever. I don't even know what the current ones are. But I did see a clip of Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless talking about the whole quarterback situation. And Shannon Sharp was saying quite simply, hey, you know, the Bucs like to blitz. They're a blitzing team. You got a wounded quarterback. He's like, I think he said it's just like the Serengeti. You go, if you're looking at a pack of animals, you're going to attack the weakest one. You're going to attack the one with a limp. You're going to attack the one you can go get. So if Alex Smith is not 100% or if he's having trouble pushing off on his leg or something, you know, get after his ass. Go. You know, and the Bucs, that's what they do anyway. And Alex Smith, we'll see how he actually is, but even at his very best, he's not the best mover in the world anymore. So, I mean, I could see, and the Bucs not having Devin White does factor into this because Devin White is very helpful on these, one of their best blitzers. Having him out, you know, it's not necessarily helpful, but nothing about this Washington offense, and they do have some weapon, they got McLaurin and whatever. Every offense has some weapons in the NFL, but their DVOA, by the way, for the season offensively was 32 out of 32, dead last. And passing, it was 32. Rushing, it was 14th. So if you break it down even further, I mean, this is not something where the Buccaneers should have trouble stopping the Redskins. And the Bucs' secondary this season was pretty good overall, especially when they weren't forced to cover for long amounts of time. They got lit up in some situations when they couldn't get to the quarterback and couldn't get pressure, especially you think of the Chiefs game, which was probably the low point of the season defensively, or at least the first 2.5 quarters of the Chiefs game. And, you know, as long as we don't have guys in man coverage out there for pushing 3.5-4 seconds, the Bucs' secondary has been pretty good. And so there'll be some challenges on Saturday night with some of the guys Washington has, but nothing that, I mean, you saw the game Sunday night. If you heard my show Monday, you heard me saying how for all we worry about who the matchups are and this and that, you actually sit down and watch the game Sunday night and it made you realize this is all dumb. We shouldn't even care. Like, the Bucs should not have an issue defensively against Washington's offense on Saturday night. But it is something to keep an eye on. The Bucs did allow an NFL-high 14 touchdowns against the Blitz this season. Part of that's their propensity to do it. And with Devin White out, it doesn't help. But, I mean, I can't get afraid of Alex Smith, not at 100%, or of Taylor Heinicke. I just can't. And we shouldn't have to. If you look at the EPA per play numbers for the whole season, Washington offensively was number 28, and defensively they were number 3rd. That's combined for number 18 in the league. The Bucs, both offensively and defensively, were number 5, but yet that combines for number 2. Green Bay is the only team that is better, and that's a team the Buccaneers handled pretty well. And that what they did against Aaron Rodgers, by the way, in that game can be instructive, because that's when they've had their most success, and that was when they were mixing up their fronts, confusing Rodgers. They weren't asking as much from their defensive backs individually. And, you know, Alex Smith is no Aaron Rodgers, needless to say. But either way, I mean, I here's how excited I am for Saturday night. I mean, I was already thinking about it before the matchup got set. Didn't know what time or when the game was going to be. Of course, there's 3 time slots now for Wild Card Weekend on both days instead of 2. And like I said on the show on Monday, you know, I was against expanding the playoffs. I thought 6 in each conference was a good number. And more importantly, I thought it was more fair. It's not that I have a problem with letting a 7th team in necessarily. It's that I thought it was more fair for the 2nd team to have a bye instead of just the number 1 team. Like, I think the Bills deserve to have a bye. They shouldn't have to play a game this weekend. And for that matter, the Saints, I think the Bills definitely deserve a bye more than the Saints, but the Saints is the other number 2 seed. Yeah, I mean, I think that you're penalizing and you're taking away some of the import in the regular season beyond just clinching your division if you do that in week 14 or 15. But now, you know, hey, those byes were a big deal. Just so you know, Tom Brady, and I'm not trying to say anything that, you know, this is bad for the Bucs' chances, but Tom Brady, and I think the 17 playoff seasons that he was in, I think he's only been on Wild Card Weekend 4 times, and none of the years he had any success were in years when he played on Wild Card Weekend. He always had a bye in any Super Bowl he went to. He always had a bye in any Super Bowl he won. You know, that was how they made their bones, by relaxing this week and being one of the top 2 seeds and then hosting on divisional weekend. So it is a much tougher road. And the Bucs won 11-5 overall. You can't complain about it. Had they simply won one of those 2 Saints games, they would have been the NFC South champion. But either way, my point is, I think the top 2 deserve a bye. So historically, that's been a huge advantage as far as like the, I don't have it in front of me. I should have had it in front of me. But I think the past like 10 years, all 20 of the Super Bowl teams, both the winner and the loser, had a bye. It's been a while since a wild card. And wild cards have done it, but it's been a while. So from a fan viewership standpoint, though, hey, now I've got football from 1 p.m. to midnight on Saturday and Sunday, and not just run-of-the-mill football, NFL playoff football, and you better believe I'm jacked up for that. So I'm doing what I always do for big games. Even before COVID, I did this, but it's even better with COVID because, you know, you want to keep people with a little more space anyway. I put the TV outside on the porch. I got the big driveway. We put all the folding chairs out there, get some table. Maybe a fire pit happens this weekend. I don't have one of those, but I don't know. Maybe I go to Home Depot or Lowe's and get one of those, you know, We'll figure it out. But how much more fun is it, folks, when the game's an event? And this is an event, like I told you before. How many games have the Bucs played in their history? Regular season? 709. Playoffs. They've played 15. This is only the 16th time in the history of Buck football we've had a playoff game, let alone the first time in 13 years. So get excited. Have fun with it. Use this as an excuse to get together responsibly. You know, don't have a million people crowding into your living room. But call a buddy. You know, watch the game with somebody. These are the moments we are fans of the Buccaneers through all these things, thick and thin, years and years of no playoffs at all, years and years of regular season games. And every once in a while, even though the playoffs are the whole point and the whole reason we get excited about all these regular season games is to make the playoffs, yet it's only less than 2% of the time that we actually have a playoff game. Treasure it, man. Treasure it. Because I can think back to 2007 and 2005 and those disappointments. Of course, we all remember 2002. And to this day, even counting 2002, you want to know what my favorite Buccaneer football season of all time and probably my favorite probably my biggest thrill as a sports fan of all the years I've been watching sports, which is my whole life, whether it's Bucks, Rays, Lightning, Gators football, Gators basketball, my biggest thrill as a sports fan has always been and always will be, because your first time is always the best, 1997 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Because no team of mine, I couldn't even spell playoffs back then. The Bucks had never played in a playoff game in my lifetime in 1997. And when they started 5-0 and then they made the playoffs and they had the opening wild card game against the Lions at the old Sombrero and then going to Green Bay. I mean, it was surreal, and it was so much fun. I had so much fun doing all that. And so for a lot of people, especially some of you younger folks, I don't know how many younger listeners we have out there, but for a lot of the younger folks, this is the same thing now. Like, there's people that can't remember 2007. I mean, I'm thinking now, if you're a 25-year-old person, like, you know, you're out of college, or let's say you're 22 years old. You're out of college recently, and you've been a Buck fan your whole life, like me and my buddies were when we were coming out of college. The Buccaneers, last time they even played in the playoffs in 2007, that was 13 years ago, you know, you were 9, and maybe you're just, you know, barely remembering that. And the last time they won a playoff game, you were an infant or a toddler. So for those people, this is that same type of thing, and hopefully the memory, I know it's 2020 hasn't been the same as far as being able to go to games and stuff like that, but it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun on Saturday night. So I want to thank the Joes for giving me this platform, as always, to be in front of you. And, you know, it's a treasure to do it all year long, but especially finally during a playoff week. Thanks to them. The best place anywhere for Bucks coverage, JoeBucksFan.com. I want to thank our sponsor, Bill Curry Ford. I want to thank you guys. It's been a really fun year. I hope we're just getting going. But no matter what happens on Saturday, this is why we do it all. It's going to be a lot of fun. Enjoy it. So I'll talk to you guys next week one way or the other. Hopefully we're getting ready for the divisional round of the playoffs. But either way, it is Wild Card Weekend, one of the best weekends of the year. Enjoy all the football games, in particular the Bucks game, of course, but all 6 of them. And we'll be back same time next week to figure it all out. In the meantime, wherever you are, have fun Saturday night. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks!